The Gary Knoll Show, daily at noon on the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's The Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, and I'd like to welcome you to the number one listened to radio program in America for independent and progressive-minded individuals. We are the program for people who believe in positive change and transformation. Honest in evaluating the problem, but always looking for what can we do to make it better. Today, we will begin a new series on newsmaker updates. We will go around the world and find people who are giving us information not presented on any other media. You will not hear this on any of the other liberal programs or conservative programs. And each day we'll have a newsmaker. Today our newsmaker will be coming from London, England, Claire Robinson, longtime activist on genetically modified organisms and toxicological issues. She is the senior editor of GM Watch in UK, and we're going to talk about how it is that Monsanto, this $100 billion corporation, with all the access controlling all administrations and all White Houses going clear back to Carter, how they're now getting a backlash against their genetically modified soy and the birth defects and the cancer, and how U.S. farmers are awakening to the GM dangers. The revolt against GM genetically modified cotton and eggplant and soy all over the world. We would like to believe that we are the voice of those individuals. As Lou Hill, a man who I have tremendous respect for, who founded the Pacifica Foundation that originally had a mandate that was unique and revolutionary, a true progressive, he believed that radio should be a voice for the voiceless. The Progressive Radio Network is that voice. And we have over 80 of the most progressive voices in the world on. There had not been a voice for all the genetically modified organizations. So they would do good work, but their material never ended up in the mainstream media, hence not in people's consciousness. Now we've taken all their stories, investigative reports, the scientists, the whistleblowers, the activists, who are standing up and saying no to genetically modified foods, and we have provided them with an ongoing forum. Every month you will hear the latest on genetically modified foods and research and why it is bad. That begins today with our look at pushing back against Monsanto so we can make a difference. And you'll hear that. That's our and all the articles you were not aware of, you will hear for the first time today. Why you should not take anything into your body that's genetically modified, whether it's salmon or soybeans. Articles that no one else has shared will have exclusive presentation in the last part of our program today on that. By the way, our newsmakers are not our regular guests. They'll be short 3 to a maximum of 10-minute segments, and we'll have them on a regular basis. Also today, time permitting, we will give you the latest on the truth behind vaccine. Now, I may not have time on the noon show, but I will try to make time on the 3 o'clock show. We have the first in-depth analysis anywhere in the world, a real exclusive, based upon the work of the outstanding research of Dr. Russell Blaylock. We're going to go to the secret transcript of how the FDA, the World Health Organization, the CDC, and the vaccine manufacturers met in secret and conspired with malice aforethought to convince us that there was no association between vaccines and thimerosal and aluminum and formaldehyde and monosodium glutamate, all in those vaccines, and autism or any other illness or neurological damage. We will show you, reading verbatim, their comments. This has never been done before. No news media, no investigative reporting organization has done what we will do today. Once again, bringing you more original, in-depth investigative reporting than any other radio program in American history. The truth behind the vaccine autism cover-up today, probably on our 3 o'clock show. That's just some of the information we have. And now let's go to the latest on health and healing, which we always carry the most important relevant information. Well, we're getting into flu season, and people are going to be lining up to get their vaccines. But I'm sure many of you won't, because you'll be looking for natural ways to help your immune system. Here is a list of the best immune-boosting foods to help keep you strong. And by the way, you can watch today's program. We're streaming live from our studio in New York City by watching by going to GaryNall.com or ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. First and foremost, we have in the fruit family, we have the foods that are rich in bioflavonoids and polyphenols and the essential fatty acids. These are all capable of enhancing your immune system so that when you are exposed to a virus, and we're all going to be exposed to viruses, you don't get sick. Oranges and tangerines, very rich. They're right at the top of our immune boosters list. Vitamin C helps the body fight infection by increasing white blood cells and antibodies and increases the level of natural interferon. In fact, when you feel kind of achy, that achy feeling is due to interferon kicking in and helping stimulate your body's fight. And that prevents the entry and attachment of viruses to the cells in the body. Now, most of the foods that contain vitamin C also contain its co-catalyst, bioflavonoids. Together, vitamin C and bioflavonoids should be taken together. Now, my suggestion is that you start your day with the whole orange. That's why it should be organic, meaning the seeds and the skin and the white pulp underneath. Juice the whole thing. And also put a lemon in there and a lime in there. Now, yes, it'll be a little tart, so put in some raw organic honey. The best honey, Tupelo honey, from Tupelo, Mississippi. And I also grow trees that get the Tupelo honey. I have about 40 beehives. I'm a beekeeper also. By the way, with none of the bees dying because of the effects of sprays or genetically engineered crops. Then put that honey in there and a little bee propolis. Then spike it with 1 to 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C. Take that two or three times throughout the day. That's a super immune booster, and that can help build up your immune system. Then right behind that, we have garlic. Now, garlic has a lot of selenium. It has sulfur, and sulfur in the body helps trap bacteria and viruses and kill them, helps kill cancer cells, stimulates the immune system. So garlic, in whatever way you choose, if you really are coming down with something, then you've got to go full stream. Juice one entire bulb of garlic, not a clove, a bulb. That's about 5,000 milligrams. That can kill an enormous amount of bacteria on the throat, especially if you take ginger and raw honey and bee propolis and follow it with some spray of colloidal silver in your throat. That can help kill off the bacteria in your throat. Then almonds and lima beans. Very good sources of zinc, which helps increase our white blood cell fighting capacity. And also, zinc is great. About 50 milligrams a day will stimulate the body's immune system. Flaxseed oil, rich in the omega-3 fatty acids, acts as an immune booster by increasing the activity of phagocytes. Those are the white blood cells that eat up bacteria. And it's easy to get I would say 1 to 3 teaspoons of flaxseed in your diet in a day. Then broccoli and broccoli sprouts, great as an immune booster. Also glutathione, I would suggest supplementing glutathione about, I'm going to say, 2,000 milligrams at a time. So those are some juices and foods that can help you, along with vitamin D, 3 to 5,000 units a day. Separately, we hear about our legislators going to Washington to clean it up, to show that the interest of the legislator is directly related to the people put them in office, their constituents. Well, that's the theory. Facts? Let's just use one. I'm only using one. I could do this against everyone. As you've heard me say, I believe that every single member of Congress, every single member of the Senate, should be removed with people who represent the layperson, the middle class, and the working class, and the poor class brought into office. Their interests have not been served. Let me give you one example. Harry Reid. From Timothy Carner, Washington Examiner, quote, no scalp would be as treasured by Republicans as fall as that of Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, and no incumbent is receiving as much air support from the drug industry as Harry Reid, who championed the profits of the drug companies. The drug lobby has begun a pro-Reid TV blitz in his home state of Nevada. One ad praises Reid for saving jobs and for understanding, quote, good jobs and good benefits mean better health. The narrator then instructs viewers to call Harry Reid today and tell him, keep fighting for Nevada families. But Nevada families didn't pay for the ad. The drug lobby did. And while the TV spot makes no passing reference to the health care bill, there's no doubt that this ad and the rest of the drug industry's generosity towards Harry Reid is a big thank you for a corporate welfare reform bill that Reid shepherded through the Senate. Flashback 1 year to last July, when Democratic congressmen going home for the Independence Day recess began to hear from their constituents about Obamacare, with the result that reform was threatened. That's when top drug lobbyist Bill Tozen came to the rescue. Tozen was president of the Pharmaceutical Researchers and Manufacturers of America, the largest single industry lobbying organization in the country. He was also formerly public enemy number one for the Obama campaign, which had held him up as the poster boy for Washington's revolving dorm and game playing. Last July, he visited the White House twice and hashed out a deal on health care. As the Los Angeles Times first reported, he pledged to support Obamacare if the White House would keep its hands off the government favors and the drug industry was already receiving. In addition, Democrats loaded up the bill with plenty more drug company goodies, including subsidies, mandates, and unprecedented 12-year government-enforced monopolies on complex drugs. In the end, Big Pharma shaped the entire Drug Reform Act, and the group ran millions of dollars of ads supporting the bill. Harry Reid passed it, and now Big Pharma is doing a heavy lifting for Harry Reid, whose approval ratings are in the 30s. And beyond the Big Pharma-funded sappy TV spots, there's plenty more signs of the industry's affection for Reid. Right after the July 22, 2009 meeting in the West Wing, drug industry political action committees began pumping cash into Reid's endangered campaign. They gave him a lot of money. So for all the Democrats out there, here's a question for you. You were sent to Washington to stop the war in Iraq. That was what 70% of Americans wanted. You didn't. You lied. You betrayed the Democratic constituents. You increased the funding for the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. You voted for every single appropriations committee. You did not raise your voice against all of the civilian casualties, which we now know from WikiLeaks is much bigger than what we've ever been told. You did not complain about outsourcing and rendering for torture. You didn't complain about the abuse of civilians or anyone else because of private contractors. You didn't complain about private industry in the United States being able to eavesdrop on American civilians, in effect providing us an entire secret police state in the United States. Not a voice was raised. Taking away our habeas corpus, you didn't protest. When we were told mandatory vaccines, you didn't protest, you supported it. When homeless vets by 900,000 said, give us a hand, you smacked them in the mouth, but said you're pro-supporting our troops. You didn't help a single vet, not one. When we had over a million vets with post-traumatic stress disorder or Gulf War syndrome, you didn't help a single one. You didn't help stop a single home from being foreclosed on. You didn't stop a single person from losing their job and having it outsourced. The only thing you did do is in the stimulus package, you gave $350 billion to go to the states for one reason only. It supported the state's unions, which kept those people in positions so they wouldn't have to worry about their jobs, but all at our cost. That doesn't stimulate new jobs, nor does it give us jobs that are relevant. I have no problem with anyone working in any federal, state, or local agency, providing that that is not just another political job. Half of all the jobs for government employees are worthless, useless, and they're political tools. And as a result, you betrayed everything that at one time you stood for. So now, maybe you'll understand that when we see the people being thrown out of office, maybe you ought to pay attention instead of calling them racists and reactionaries. Maybe you ought to ask yourself, is there another America that you're out of touch with, representing about 200 and somewhere around 250 million Americans, or two-thirds of the American population? Or are you only in touch with the most powerful, those that can give you the big checks like Harry Reid's gotten and sell us out on a completely fraudulent, disgustingly perverted health care plan that does nothing to prevent a single disease, does nothing to give you any alternative therapy if you have a disease, does nothing to prevent the deaths from cancer and heart disease, does nothing to stop dangerous drugs from getting on the market, does nothing to help a senior citizen, does nothing to help a person in hospice care, does nothing to promote an integrated alternative approach, does nothing to clean up our environment, does nothing that allows Americans to know the real cause of our illnesses. So maybe the American public is waking up. We already know that the Republicans have been sold out, but we had hoped the Democrats wouldn't. So maybe you ought to pay attention. I'm Gary Nall, back in a moment. Please stay with us. To welcome you from all over the world, and we do have people, at least 50% of the people listening right now are listening throughout the world. If you miss a program, go to our archives. They're there. They're put up every day. I want to mention something. For those of you who are not aware of it, the future is not about Republicans versus Democrats, because both are controlled. At least 98% of the candidates in Congress or running for Congress are controlled by the special interest groups. You think there's no alternative? 42% of all American voters are now describing themselves as independents. We are the majority. We have more independents right now in the United States than the Democrats and Republicans combined. And yet we're not organized. We do not have the type of interdisciplinary communication to share and to forge a new third party. That's now. But we're talking, we're communicating. The people who once only had Ralph Nader, who I voted for twice, now it's not just Ralph Nader. There are millions upon tens of millions of us. And in the next go-around, after Hillary Clinton's the next president, and we see what a disaster that is, then watch a whole independent voice arise from the progressives, united and forging a transformational America. So in the short term, dark and dirty, a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, a lot of massive theft and fraud, people in power getting away with anything they want to get away from, starting new wars and profiteering and exploiting and lying, deceiving, shredding our Constitution, shredding our individual rights, harassing, infiltrating private peace groups, environmental groups, peace activist groups, green groups, it doesn't matter. If you're a person that opposes the status quo, you will be investigated. You will be infiltrated. If you doubt me, take a look at Monsanto hiring a corrupt organization, Blackwater. These are the people who go out and kill people and have in Iraq and Afghanistan. And now they're infiltrating every single group that has something to say about genetically modified crops. Well, today we have a voice, and we have whistleblowers, and we have a whole team of lawyers. When we find them making a mistake, we will sue them, and we will make it an issue. But there will be a new day, and that's the good news. We have a guest, a newsmaker guest, in about 20 minutes now, going to talk about why you should not take any genetic modified crop into your body. And that will be coming to us from London, England, Claire Robinson. And each day we'll have another newsmaker. This is not our regular guest. Our regular guest will have a longer segment. This afternoon I'll be talking about the truth behind thimerosal and vaccines and why there is definitely, absolutely, unequivocally a connection between neurological disorders and the ingredients, the aluminum, the thimerosal, and others in the vaccines. You'll hear it for the first time. It'll be an exclusive. You won't want to miss that. That'll be at 3 o'clock. I have a little more to go here before we get to that. One more thing. Diabetes is to double or even triple in the near future. As if it weren't bad enough, we already have 30 million people with diabetes, probably another 30 million with prediabetes, and children as well as adults. And now imagine 100 million Americans with diabetes. It's good for the pharmaceutical industry and the hospitals and your doctor. It's not good for you. I'll be doing a special later this week on a complete A to Z, how to prevent diabetes from happening, and if you have it, how to reverse it. This past week, we filmed a group of individuals who had just completed a one-year health support group. Three of the people had reversed completely their diabetes. And how about this? Three people had also grossly improved or completely reversed their multiple sclerosis. And we have it on film. They all got up and told us the changes that occurred. There were a lot of other cases of irritable bowel syndrome, gastric reflux, arthritis, depression, all reversed, completely normal now. So we know what we can do. So we're going to talk about diabetes reversal on an upcoming program. Let's take a quick go-to with, I see Luann Panessi's on our line. Hi, Luann.
Hey, Gary. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Good. I just wanted to make an announcement to everyone that, as people know, you have your 1 month special retreat in January going on, and you also have the 1 week retreat the first week of January going on in Florida. So I do have a couple of openings that got created, and I want to remind everyone that is coming that we need your medical documentation for the 1 month. The 1 month program is specifically for people that have been having problems reversing a chronic illness with conventional medicine, and they want to try another approach. And you're going to be with them in a controlled environment for a whole month, and it's just nothing but beautiful surroundings, animals, birds, the most delicious organic food you've ever had, juicing, supplements. It's all included. And if people are still interested in that, a couple of slots just opened up. I want you to give me a call at my home office, 631-504-6198. That's 604-6198. I also have some openings that got created because people sign up and then all of a sudden they realize, oh, I'm not going to be able to do that week. The 1 week. Now, this is for anybody who wants to learn about how to live a healthy lifestyle. And, I mean, what better time than the first week of January when we write our New Year's resolutions? Why not take it a step further? And our theme is going to be surviving the future. And you'll be there. I'll be there for a few days. And it's just a wonderful environment to go to. I mean, I don't know that people realize you have an ozonated swimming pool, a full gym every morning.
You don't have to go into any of that.
Oh, it's magnificent, though. And, I mean, I've seen people for the past 10 years, I've seen people go down and people with depression and anxiety, people that have diabetes, if you have issues with weight management, whether it's gaining weight or losing weight, you're in just the most perfect environment to help you with those conditions. Not that we're dealing with conditions. We're only dealing with giving you the basic foundation lifestyle information.
Okay.
And I know also for a fact, Gary, it is just so amazing to watch people go through your programs, whether it's the 1 month, 1 year, 1 week, coming in one way and leaving the program. Oh, all those people you have on film talking about the fundamental changes.
You were there Wednesday night where you saw the end of 1 year and you saw people reverse multiple sclerosis, three of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you cannot find another doctor in the United States or hospital clinic anywhere that can say they reverse multiple sclerosis. And we had three of them in one group.
And you can't find a weight management center that has people decrease their body fat
by 50%.
Thank you.
50%.
It was remarkable. It was absolutely
remarkable. Yeah, you did the impedance. So they had the year ago where we had it in their file, let's say 30% body fat. Now it's 15% body fat. And when you reduce the body fat, you reduce the toxins in the fat, the pesticides in the fat, the hormones, and also the heavy metals in the fat, the lead, cadmium, mercury. You also, the higher your body fat, the less likely you are to live. You're more likely to die from all causes the higher the body fat. So, quite simply, it means people live a longer life. And you also heard about people who overcame irritable bowel syndromes, a spastic colon, colitis.
Reflux disease, allergies.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Well, we filmed it, and in the next 2-3 weeks, we will put those up on our Miracles Can Happen website to show people what people say in their own voice, uncoached. You hear it, you know, they come up and they say, here's my name, here's my age, and here's what happened the last year. I'd like to find any hospital in the United States, Harvard Medical School, Sloan Kettering, MD Anderson, the Mayo Clinic, show me a single place that can show that they've done the same thing. I'd like to see it. It doesn't exist.
You won't.
You were a nurse for 18 years. You oversaw 100 nurses. You were there. You saw. Did you ever see any of these reversed as we have?
No, because there's really no incentive. The only incentive is to give them more drugs. They go through a certain cycle. You get sick, you get drugs, you get side effects from the drugs, more drugs, nursing home, die. That's the deal.
Okay. But remember, the good news is there's a lot of money to be made for the people who understand that cycle. And the bad news is, if you're the person who is the commodity. So let's make people not commodities, not pathologize, and not make them sick. Let's get them well. And that's the movement. And that's why they're so terrified. Because more and more people are paying attention to what causes disease and don't want to be sick. And by the way, just to end this, the Boris Report, you're familiar with Christine O'Donnell. Here is this, quote, in a performance guaranteed to raise some eyebrows in Delaware and beyond, Tea Party candidate Christine O'Donnell said at a sensational debate last night that she strongly supports, quote, the separation of speech and thought. Quote, to tell you the truth, she says, I don't know if there's anything about that in the Constitution. In the version of the Constitution I read, Big Bird didn't mention it. Unquote. Now, Miss O'Donnell seemed stumped when the moderator asked her whether there were any Supreme Court decisions she disagreed with. Finally, she blurted out, Alley versus Frazier. And her halting answers to many of the questions made some wonder why she had not written answers on her hand, as her role model, Sarah Palin, had been known to do. But Miss O'Donnell offered this explanation, quote, as you know, I believe it's immoral to use your hand to help yourself, unquote. Now, after the conclusion of the debate, Miss O'Donnell pronounced herself pleased with her performance, saying that she would spend the next week concentrating on her, quote, Halloween costume, quote, I'm going as a qualified candidate. Elsewhere, the Texas Rangers advanced the World Series, proving that once George Bush goes away, things get better. So you see, we give you the best news there is. All right, Luann, give your number one more time.
It's 631-504-6198, or you can email me at whnn@aol.com. That's whnn@aol.com.
And don't forget, not this Wednesday, but a Wednesday a week from now, we will have our first official meeting of people in the six-month, twice-a-month meeting for our Rebuilding the Brain, Healing the Brain Naturally Health Support Group. So anyone, we do have room there, so anyone who, and people can watch it also over the Internet, anyone who has problems with depression, anxiety, insomnia, dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, and this is a health support group focusing not on disease, but on wellness, and to see what we can do by changing a person's lifestyle and behavior over 6 months. And this is a monitored program with physicians, neurologists, etc., to show if we can impact people's conditions by promoting only health. And this will be important because no one's ever done this before.
But that said, Gary, they must have medical documentation. I just need something that says that they have the disease. Otherwise, it's just hearsay, and it won't count.
I agree. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Back in a moment. Please stay with us. On Wednesday morning, my six-hour uninterrupted show on KPFK, our sister station in Los Angeles, where I've been for 25 years, some of the issues I will be taking on. Is Israel on the verge of fascist takeover? You will not want to miss that. Work harder to earn less. Why the French are raising hell in the streets. Those are just two of 12 commentaries I'll be doing. I save my hardest-hitting commentaries, my most insightful commentaries, for the 6 hours because I'm not rushed, don't have the time restraints, so I can really go into depth on that. So if you get up on the East Coast from 3 a.m. to 9 a.m., you can tune in. Go to GaryNall.com or ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. Carrie Lee, we have connections to get them to there, don't we?
There will be a link to go to the KPFK site where you can hear Gary.
Good. From 3 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the East Coast, from midnight to 6 on the West Coast. Carrie Lee joined us in studio. In 10 minutes, we'll be joined by our guest, our newsmaker. What's up on your end, Carrie Lee?
Well, good afternoon, Gary. First of all, I want to remind all of our listeners of our exciting streaming exclusive premiere online tonight for Autism Made in the USA. So tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, you can go online. You can sign up off of Progressive Radio Network's homepage and GaryNall.com, and you can sign up and see Autism Made in the USA. It went to, I don't know, hundreds of festivals, won multiple awards. It's very insightful, you know, connecting the links between vaccinating our children and the increasing epidemic of autism. You know, this is something that really affects everyone because it's really a safety issue, and the way that vaccines are marketed is not telling the whole story. And this documentary does a great job of really showing what's going on behind the scenes with the CDC and the World Health Organization. And then followed by that screening, there's going to be a conversation with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Mayor Eisenstein. Gary, you're going to be moderating it, and that'll be taking place exclusively after the screening of the documentary tonight, and that's all tonight. And as I said before, you can find that on Progressive Radio Network and GaryNall.com.
Let's assume that someone has already watched the film, and thousands have. I think we had 16 screenings. However, let other people know. Twitter it, Facebook it. Let people know who don't know this exists, because this is our final big effort on this issue. We go on to other issues as of tomorrow. So our big issue on informing the world of the connection between any form of mitochondrial disorders, any form of autism spectrum disorders, and vaccines are proven. And most importantly, and this is really what's important, we show you cured children and how they were cured and the protocols, including one of my own. We have one young 14-year-old male who's in there who was suffering from complete autism spectrum disorder. His parents were going to put them into a special home because they couldn't take care of him. He was too big and too violent. And today he's completely normal, top of his class, and living an absolutely wonderful life, the Ortega family. That story you will see also. So you will see something that has never been seen anywhere in American media. Cured children. Now, why won't the American media tell you that there are people who have been cured of autism? Because the pharmaceutical industry would then not have the power to control an entire disease. as they have with AIDS and cancer and others, and profit from it. And they're the ones who pay for the ads on television or in the radio or magazines, and that's why you don't see it, but you will hear, see it tonight. So let other people know that this exists so we can get people watching this tonight. Okay, that's that. Thank you. Now, a couple more things, Sarah Lee. First and foremost, garlic oil shows protective effect against heart disease in diabetes. This is from the Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry, and it shows, quote, this is from the American Chemical Society. What's important is this is mainstream science. Quote, garlic has significant potential for preventing cardiomyopathy, a form of heart disease that is a leading cause of death in people with diabetes, scientists have concluded in a new study. The report also explains why people with diabetes are at a higher risk of cardiomyopathy. And they found that there was a substantial benefit when people took the garlic oil. So, quote, in conclusion, garlic oil possesses significant potential for protecting hearts from diabetic-induced cardiomyopathy. So my suggestion, juice your garlic. All right? If you have a heart problem, by juicing it, you're getting the oils. You're getting all the oils, and that's good news. That's going to save lives. Now, one of the things American medicine tries to do, and again, this is all because of the pharmaceutical industry, they try to get you on drugs immediately, and a lot of it, the moment you have an enlarged prostate or a cancerous prostate. Here's the latest why we told you you shouldn't go down that route. This is from the Journal of the National Cancer Institute. This is the highest authority on the subject of cancer in the United States. Quote, untreated prostate cancer, no death sentence. From Reuters, quote, even without treatment, only a small minority of men diagnosed with early stage prostate cancer die from the disease. Drawing from a national cancer registry, they estimated that after 10 years, prostate cancer would have killed less than 3% of these men. Quote, what the data is showing is that for most patients with low-risk cancer, there is no need to panic. Prostate cancer really is no longer a fatal disease, unquote. Now, this was done at the University of Michigan Center and published in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute. What this says is that if you have no treatment, none, but what if you had the treatment we advocate, treatment with saw palmetto, Africanum pygium, stinging nettles, genistein, isoflavon genistein from soy, vitamin C and quercetin, podiarco, red clover. Then, along with the juices, imagine then what would happen. So they're saying don't panic if you do nothing, and we're saying don't just do nothing, do the right thing, and therefore reduce your risk even further, almost down to zero. So this is good news. What this tells us is don't go rushing out there and get radioactive implants in your prostate, you know, and don't start all the drugs they're giving you, because the side effects of the drugs could end up killing you or making you sick or causing other organ damage that further causes other conditions. So that's good news. And finally, parents should be warned, fluoridated water is not recommended for infants. Now this is very, very important. It says the following, quote, a new study confirms infants fed formula reconstituted with fluoridated water are at a greater risk of developing discolored teeth, dental fluorosis. The American Dental Association, the ADA, warned dentists about this in 2006, but has done little or nothing to inform the nearly 200 million Americans who live in communities with fluoridated water. This study, published in the Journal of the American Dental Association, cover story just this month, confirms our work all along. Quote, fluoride intakes during each of the first 4 years were individually significantly related to fluorosis on maxillary central incisors, with the first year most important, unquote. In lay language, don't give your children fluoridated water. So once again, after all the denials, all the poo-hooing, how many times even on Keith Urban and others have you heard anyone talking about the dangers of fluoride being considered a radical, a conspiratorialist? No, this is their science. We were ahead of the curve. Hello, Democrats. Hello, Keith Urban. Get ahead of the curve. All right? When we talk about an issue and we document it and it is published in the Townsend Letter for Journal Doctors and Patients, before you mock something that you're completely ignorant of, look at it. We are there to tell you fluoride is a dangerous poison. Don't use it. All right? And now, the cover story of this month's American Dental Association supports that. All right? So once again, 25 years ahead of the curve. Think how many people had no cancer because they didn't do the fluoride. So don't use fluoride in your toothpaste, your mouthwash, and your baby formulas, and your drinking water. Finally, before we go back to Carolee and then on to our newsmaker, last night before my show, had people all over America call last night. I don't know if you heard it, but gee whiz, Utah, South Carolina, Florida, Texas, Michigan, Arizona. We had calls from everywhere last night. And we just answer questions of all types. It was a fun show.
Yeah, every Sunday at 8 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network, Gary.
And if you miss it, listen to the archives. It's posted now. But last night before I went on the air, up at my office, I was watching 60 Minutes, and they did a really good job. I commend them for an outstanding job on showing what we've been filming, the new poor in America. They had an auditorium and filled with people. How many of you in here are PhDs? Hands went up. MBAs. All kinds of hands went up. How many of you graduated college with college degrees? Everyone's hand went up. A man who had been making $300,000 a year as a head of engineering in a major firm is now 2 years unemployed, spent all of his savings, cashed out his 401k, and has now found a job at $8.50 an hour working in Kmart, stocking boxes. A woman who had been making over $100,000 a year, upper middle class, a nice home, children, 54 years old, is now going into dumpsters to find bottles and cans to recycle. After 3 days of them following her and, you know, showing how she takes the cans and empty bottles out and recycles them, she made $36.50. And he said to her, "How does it feel?" And she said, "Well, the day before I was let go, I never thought about money being the issue." She says, "Now $36 is a lot to me. And $5 is a lot to me." Then it showed a homeless free kitchen, you know, where people were eating free meals. You didn't see a person in there that looked like the typical homeless person. You saw upper middle class people, and one-time wealthy people all sitting there with their plastic forks and eating a meal. You saw people that never had to go to the public for food and the embarrassment and humiliation they said they felt. You saw a woman who was living in a friend's attic on a little mattress, and it showed her vacuuming the floor and washing the dishes so she could do something so she didn't feel as if she was mooching. And she had been there for 6 months. She thought she'd be there for 2 weeks. And that, and what I'm saying is, when I saw that last night, I said, yeah, once again, they finally are showing the face of the new poor. How many of them are out there? Listen carefully. More than 100 million. One-third of the entire American population are now new poor. Even people who have beautiful homes and have worked for their whole life are now, one woman says she's got 3 months to go and then she's out of her house. She hasn't been paying her mortgage, but it'll take that long to foreclose, and she has no place to go with her and her daughters. So I'm saying, where would these people go? They're not prepared. They have no tools for surviving outside of the secure system they had worked in. You won't see them in protest yet, and some will go to the Tea Party because there's no other protest they can go to. The unions have betrayed them. You haven't had any of the major unions at the state or federal level protesting home foreclosures, unless I missed it. Did you? Have you seen any?
I didn't see any legislation passed about foreclosures.
No, you haven't seen the protest. In France, yes, you do, not in the United States. We're not prepared for those protests because it goes against the comfort and the belief that our system won't implode. And it shows how many people are collapsing on the inside, yet on the outside you don't see it. And yet they showed all these skyscrapers in the city, right? And then they said, all empty, one after another, no offices, and how the services are breaking down. And how these people tried to disguise the fact that they're poor. We're doing a major film on this called Poverty Inc. I'm not finished filming it yet. I've been filming all over, but I'll finish it in the next 3 months, but I commend 60 Minutes for doing it. It was a good piece. It didn't talk about why these people were there and what about all their outsourcing of jobs from corporations they once worked for. Now, they don't work for the company, but someone in China is making them their work, and why that happened. So it got me thinking. Yesterday I had a day when I invited people to go to my store and buy their produce, or not produce, buy their bulk items that don't go bad, grains and legumes, at my cost to help them. Like 15 people showed up. And I'm thinking, I've got millions of listeners. Are people in denial? Do you assume that somehow you're always going to be able to feed yourself? You're always going to have a job? You're always going to have income? Hello, wake up. We are in a crisis. I want people to be able to be prepared. Even last night, I was thinking, how many of those people never thought that when they lost their job, they'd also lose the capacity to feed themselves and their family? What if they would have had a year or 2 years worth of grains and legumes stored that have food? So start with the basics, food. So what I'm going to do is, starting tomorrow and for the next 6 days, from 10 till 10, people can go in and they'll get a list of the bulk items they can get at my cost as a public service to help themselves for the future. You can go to 89th and Broadway at Uptown Gary Knowles, Uptown Whole Foods, and that's my gift to you, for those of you who are at least smart enough to realize what happens when the day comes when you don't have any food and you think, my God, how stupid was I to think that I was invulnerable from this happening? Or how about helping other people who need a break too, and you could help them? That's 89th and Broadway, 212-874-4000. Carolee, we're going to go to our newsmaker now and some of the other issues. I see you have a whole lot, but we will talk about that after our newsmaker, and if that don't have time, then we'll do it this afternoon. Back in a moment with our new newsmaker segment. Please stay with us. And now from the London, United Kingdom, Claire Robinson, longtime activist on genetically modified organisms and toxicological issues. She is the senior editor of GM Watch in the UK, an independent nonprofit organization founded with a mission to counter the corporate power and propaganda of big agri and biotech industries. Nice to have you with us today, Claire. Do we have Claire online? Claire, can you hear me? I seem to have a disconnect there. Okay, we'll get her right back. Until we get her back, let's go back into studio. You have a letter.
I do have a letter. I also have a quick announcement, if that's okay, Gary.
Sure.
Goes right back to what you were talking about with jobs, and lucky enough, we are actually looking for two positions right now. That's correct, Gary?
Yes.
We're looking for a day manager and a night manager of Gary's Health Food Store on the Upper West Side at 89th and Broadway. So if you are interested, if you are looking for a position, Gary will be conducting interviews himself Wednesday at 5 p.m. And you'll be doing it here, Gary, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you can come here to 2307 Broadway. And if you have any questions, you can give me a call at 646-926-5428. Again, my phone number is 646-926-5428.
And those are good-paying positions with a good responsibility. Now, I'm just saying from my engineer, if we have our guest online. Hi, Claire. Claire Robinson. I think I can hear. I'm not connected just now. Let's see if we can get her up. Hi, Claire. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hi.
Thank you very much for being with us today. Claire, I'm going to ask you just a couple of questions. Both the American media, to our disappointment, the liberal media has supported genetic engineering and not criticized it, and the right media supports anything that big corporations do and feel that if we challenge them on genetically modified safety, they'll say, well, you're preventing people from making a profit and your regulations are too restrictive, so we're going to go against you. So quite frankly, you don't have support in either the left or the right media. That's why we provided you with this forum. But what I want you to do for this audience is I want you to show us the dangers in genetically modified soy, in the salmon, in the milk, and why the American population should realize we have been lied to, the farmers have been lied, when they were told the advantages of genetically engineered seeds. Monsanto has lied, and the major supporters in Congress, the major supporters in the White House, Bill Clinton, probably the biggest pro-GM, genetically modified president, behind him as quickly as George Bush. Why we've got nothing but lies, and the American media has not done their job of independently and objectively looking for the truth and telling us why we should be concerned about genetically modified organisms. The forum is yours.
Hi. Yes, this is a big, big question. Why are we not told on the media? I think increasingly the truth is creeping through, especially into the American media. I have noticed that recently there have been some very critical reports on Monsanto and its genetically engineered seeds and their performance. And most recently, what we've noticed is that late last year, Monsanto was called Company of the Year by Forbes magazine, and it was very much talked up. It was seen to be a very successful company. And Monsanto's share price this year has fallen quite considerably, and a number of people have been really surprised by this, and there's been a few contributing factors to it. Funnily enough, this latest share price fall happened in the wake of the new research being publicized about Roundup causing birth defects. This research was done by an Argentine government scientist, Professor Carrasco, and we talked about that recently on the Gary Null Show. And in the wake of that came this news of Monsanto's fall from grace on the stock market. And of course, very quickly after that, some rather more acceptable reasons were cited for Monsanto's fall from grace. And one of the major ones was that the new genetically engineered seeds that Monsanto has brought out have actually been very disappointing. And even American farmers who have in the past taken up Monsanto's GM seeds very enthusiastically, now we're hearing that they're turning against them. In particular, Monsanto has brought out this new genetically engineered corn with, I think, up to 8 GM traits. And they're traits for herbicide resistance and for insecticidal properties. So they're the same old traits, basically. This is all that Monsanto has come up with in years and years of genetically engineering crops. It's herbicide tolerance and it's insecticidal proteins in the crops. Now, SmartStax was promoted as a very high yielding product. This has not happened, actually. The yields have apparently been disappointing, and this is what we're hearing in the American media, even. Also, farmers are having to use a lot of herbicides with SmartStax corn. In fact, it is engineered to tolerate two different sorts of herbicides, because a lot of genetically engineered crops are genetically engineered to be used with glyphosate, and the overuse of glyphosate has resulted in a lot of herbicide resistant weeds coming up. So the industry's response to that has just been to stack these herbicide tolerant traits, and this will enable farmers to use lots of herbicides in their fields, which of course was not the original promise of genetically engineered crops. We were supposed to be using less herbicides, less pesticides.
Claire Robinson just told your thoughts. We're going to be saying goodbye to our WMYE audience, and everyone else can continue listening over the Progressive Radio Network.com or GaryNull.com. Claire Robinson, could you go into why you are concerned about the safety of these genetically modified crops, like soy linked to birth defects and cancer, and go through some of the reasons why. Aside from the yields, they told us the reason that we should have a world filled with genetically modified food, it would save people from starving because you get greater yields. A lie that proved not to be true. That they wouldn't be able to, they wouldn't be using as much pesticide. Just the opposite. They created a seed that allows unlimited amounts of pesticide and not kill the seed. Therefore, more pesticide is being used, herbicides. That has created a proliferation of weeds that the farmers never had before. And the weed, just so people understand, since I'm a certified organic farmer, that when you have the weeds take the nutrients out of the soil instead of the food that you're growing. So it's bad. And so then they say, well, it's a safe food. Now let's deal with safety. Your thoughts, please.
Yes. Can I just add briefly one small extra point for the farmers here? The major thing I think that's driving farmers away from GM crops now, especially in the US, is that the seeds are very expensive. And notably, all that Monsanto has promised in its latest financial reports is that it's going to bring the prices down of its seeds because they are extremely expensive. So that is really driving farmers away. From the point of view of food safety. This is a big, big issue, and it's becoming more well known among the general public that actually there is some research on genetically engineered crops showing that they do present health risks to people. And just about every kind of cell in experimental animals has been shown to be damaged in some kind of research study on GM crops at some point. And every bodily system in animal studies has also been shown to suffer. These studies have not been followed up as they properly should have been, but they are out there. And in particular, over recent years, there's been a huge amount of independent research on the herbicide Roundup, which most genetically engineered crops in the world are engineered to tolerate. So GM crops have resulted in huge increases in the amount of Roundup herbicide, which we're told is safe. However, the recent research shows that Roundup at extremely low levels, these are levels much lower than we would be using in our garden or lower than farmers would be using in their fields, comparable to the kinds of levels you would expect to find as residues in the environment and in food. And at these very, very low levels, Monsanto's herbicide Roundup has been linked to human cell death, birth defects most recently at extremely low levels, cancer, miscarriages, stillbirths, premature births, all these problems, cell damage, DNA damage. So Roundup is really a very dangerous substance and we should not be using it. And I hope that nobody listening to this show actually has it in their gardening cupboard, because this is very, very dangerous stuff. Most recently, it has been found that infant formula in Australia has been found to be contaminated with GM soy and corn. Now, the particular problem with that is not only the dangers of the GM soy, which has been shown in research, it's also the glyphosate, the Roundup residues that are likely to be present in GM soy. And obviously, we don't want this kind of stuff ending up in baby food. Babies are especially vulnerable, should we say, to toxic insult because they're developing very fast. There are various developmental windows in humans that if they're exposed to toxins, things can go seriously wrong. This is much more true in babies and children than it is in adults. But even adults should be worried about this stuff. You know, we don't want to get cancer. We don't want to get Parkinson's disease. All these things are have been linked to herbicide exposure. So obviously we need to take a precautionary approach and learn to grow crops and to garden without these substances. And that's not such a revolutionary tall order. You know, we grew food without these substances about 50 years ago, and we will go back to doing that. And it's not this big mystery, you know, you just don't need this stuff.
Yes, my last thought for you, and then I'm going to give two little short commentaries, and I'll take about 3 minutes of the next program's time to do it. Monsanto has hired Blackwater, a notoriously a vile group of people who are part of black op operations. They're part of the national security CIA system. They're accountable to no one. These are the people who shot and killed people in Iraq and were not held accountable. Now they're infiltrating every genetic modified organization critic. In other words, every group and every organization is critical. What do you think of the idea that you, your group, and every other group in the world that is critical of genetic modified crops, like Dr. Shiva, who we just filmed in India, now could be the victims of whatever Blackwater decides to do? And we already know that our Attorney General and our President have refused to do anything to investigate the people in Blackwater and what they've done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, one thing I could add there, Gary, is that very recently we did have a major lot of traffic coming onto our site because we put up the GM soy paper onto the GM Watch site. And when we found that people were most interested and most trying to get it, our site was actually attacked again. Fortunately, this time it was not brought down. We don't know who's doing this, but they are certainly having a good go at bringing us down.
Okay, we also have cyber detectives working with us. Once again, when you have a problem, let me know. We can track down these people. We have people who are inside a governmental agency is willing to work with us because they're so much in contempt of the corruption they see. We have whistleblowers. So we're not helpless. This is not going to be Operation COINTELPRO. This isn't going to be what they did in the 70s, like the corrupt FBI and the others didn't got away with it. Today, we are going to make an issue out of it. All right?
Yeah.
Remember, we fight back today. Thank you very much for being our newsmaker, Claire Robinson, and give us your email address so people can go and be up to date on the latest. Go ahead, Claire.
Yeah, okay. It's clairejr@sky.com, and that's clairejr@sky.com.
Good. Thank you very much. And just remember that we have a newsmaker on all the time. The two latest pieces of information on genetically modified foods that have not gotten out there. This is from Steve Forrest, Genetically Modified Foods and Monsanto Initiative, quote, from Op-Ed News. Deception, manipulation, and propaganda, and profit. These words have become the basis of the American corporate and political landscape without any seeming concern or guilt over their efforts. One company in particular, which seems to be the iconographic example of this, is Monsanto, or so go the claims today by the group that is reacting to genetically modified food technology and is apparently government backing. In order to understand the purpose of genetically modified foods and the reasons stated for their implementation, the powers that be will tell us we need only look at the current global environment and the necessity of solutions to provide an adequate food supply to those in need in the global community. Well, farmable land and access to water, energy, and biological resources are not as plentiful in many countries as they are in many parts of America. These shortages equate to low crop yields, which means certain death and starvation to many people around the world. Unfortunately, the facts surrounding these assertions are accurate. According to the World Bank and the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, 1.2 billion people are undernourished, a sizable increase from the last estimate, which indicate a combination of insufficient food, low incomes, and adequate distribution of food. This is the largest number of hungry humans ever recorded in history. Likewise, reports from numerous other international organizations and reputable scientific research confirms the existence of these serious food supply problems. In the face of these realities, the U.S. government will have us believe that it is we who need genetically modified foods to meet the demands of the modern world. Arguments for the research into and implementation of genetically modified foods claim to support the initiatives to combat these problems. However, the research shows just the opposite, and that's what we just discussed, that instead of giving us greater yields, they give us smaller yields. Instead of being able to be cleaner, they are more polluted. So now, and these, by the way, come from the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, called for a moratorium, a stopping of genetically modified foods. They said, quote, genetically modified foods pose a serious health risk. They cited several animal studies, concluding, quote, there is more than a casual association between genetically modified foods and adverse human health. Genetically modified foods pose a serious health risk in the areas of toxicology, allergy, and immune function, reproductive health, and metabolic and physiological and genetic health. Another alleged advantage to this modern wonder of biological meddling that a higher crop yields, quote, from the same organization, over time, the genetically modified crop harvest yields were lower than conventional yields and required over time more, not less, highly toxic herbicidal chemicals such as glyphosate, and unquote. And finally, quote, this is from genetically modified soy linked to sterility and infant death. From Food Freedom Network, quote, this study was just routine, says Russian biologist Alexia Servov, in what could end up as the understatement of the century. Servov and his scientist colleagues set out to discover if Monsanto's genetically modified soy, grown on 91% of U.S. soy fields, leads to problems in growth or reproduction. What he discovered may uproot a multi-billion dollar industry. After feeding hamsters for 2 years, over three generations, those on the genetically modified diet, and especially the group on the maximum genetically modified soy diet, showed devastating results. By the third generation, most of the genetically modified soy-fed hamsters lost the ability to have babies. They also suffered slower growth and a higher death rate among the pups. And if this isn't shocking enough, some of the third generation even had hair growing inside their mouths, a phenomenon rarely seen but apparently more prevalent among hamsters eating genetically modified soy. The study, jointly conducted by Servov's Institute of Ecology and Evolution of the Russian Academy of Sciences and the National Association of Gene Security, is expected to be published this month. That is the latest. Did you see any of this in the New York Times? No. In the Washington Post? No. Did you hear about it anywhere on the American media? No. Well, you heard it here. And that's what we're here for. This is the Progressive Radio Network, the voice for truth. I'm Gary Knoll, back in 2 hours to tell you about the truth about vaccines. Please stay with us. Now, let's go over to a late starting, The Natural Nerth with Dr. Z.
Knoll Show is produced in our New York City studios. The producer is Richard Gale. The engineer is Matt Bogart. All shows are archived by Joe Kemp. Our chief archivist is Sharon Pride, and the program director is Carol Lee.